Five, four, three, two, one, fire!
You are listening to SaintMichaelsPod.com. We have taken over control of your iPod or other MP3 listening device. Resistance is futile at this point. God's message will not self-destruct, whether you choose to accept his mission or not. At this time, we recommend that you relax, let go, and let God.
Welcome to this week's rendition, what would you say? Edition?
Rendition, I like that
rendition?
Word. Yeah.
This week's rendition of the St. Michael's Teen Radio Show. We're here again with all of the teens and young adults from the area for the St. Michael's Youth Ministry Program. Let's just go around the table quickly and give your names once again.
Terry.
Patrick.
Mark.
Anna.
Michelle.
Taylor.
Mary.
Very good. And we have some representatives here from Watterson High School and some from DeSales High School, as well as some different students from the colleges in the area. And some of us are graduates, believe it or not. So we're all out in the real world doing real things like youth ministry.
Yes.
Okay, well, last week we listened to a couple songs and we talked a little bit about a band called Reliant K and another song by one of our locals, Mary Eckert, who actually wrote a tune about Eucharistic Adoration or Waiting for Eucharistic Adoration. This week, we want to start off by talking about a song by Rich Mullins, who is no longer with us, but hopefully is with Christ in heaven now. I believe he probably is. Pretty well-known contemporary Christian music artist. This is a song that he did called Hold Me, Jesus, and I think it kind of goes along with the theme we had last week, which was sort of a little bit about relying on God. And we'll give it a listen here now and see what everybody thinks, and then we'll talk a little bit about the lyrical content, maybe the thoughts and musical ideas that Mr. Mullins was putting forth. This is called Hold Me, Jesus.
Well, sometimes my life just don't make sense at all. When the mountains look so big, oh, my faith just seems so small. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been king of my glory. Won't you be my prince of peace? And I wake up in the night and feel the dark. It's so hard inside my soul. I swear there must be blisters on my heart. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been king of my glory. Won't you be my prince of peace? Surrender don't come natural to me. I'd rather fight you for something I don't really want. Take what you give that I need. And I've beat my head against so many walls. Now I'm falling down, I'm falling on my knees. And the Salvation Army band is playing this hymn, and your grace rings out so deep, it makes my resistance seem so thin. Prince of Peace, you have been king of my glory. Won't you be my prince of peace?
Okay, we're back, and that's a song called Hold Me, Jesus, by the late Rich Mullins, who's probably more alive than the rest of us because hopefully he's in heaven with the Lord. Any thoughts? Did you like it?
That was a really touching song. I really liked it. I think it was very relatable.
What part of it? How so?
Oh, man. One of my favorite parts was the lyric, when the mountain seems so big and my faith just seems so small. Sometimes, you know, we feel like we just want to give up. You know, it just doesn't seem like we're making any difference in the world. I just thought that was really relatable in places people are in their faith sometimes.
Cool. Michelle?
Yeah. I agree with her. Even the same thing with like the chorus where it's, hold me, Jesus. It's basically saying, you know, he's calling out for him to be there and help him through, be it a struggle or just a time in need where he needs some more confidence or spiritual uplifting to be there for him and help him get through whatever he might be having struggle with.
Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on, like, last week we had the song by Reliant K, and it was sort of like he was resistant to asking God's forgiveness. And then eventually when he did, he found like there wasn't any kind of condemnation, but God totally forgave him and brought him back in. Any thoughts on like resistance here? He definitely talks about it a little bit in the song, maybe related to your own life. Are there times when you felt like you were kind of resistant to God's love for one reason or another? Anyone?
Yeah, I think we've all been there in one way or another. And I think the line where it says, your grace rings out so deep, it makes my resistance seem so thin. It's kind of like we feel so stupid when we realize that, you know, our resistance is really just nothing to God.
Mm-hmm. I like the line, I'd rather fight you for something I don't really want than take what you give that I need. It's like the grace that we all need from God, you know. And we'd rather fight him sometimes and say like, you know, I don't want that or whatever. I'd rather lead my life my own way and do things my own way and, you know, your way seems too hard for me right now, that kind of thing.
I totally agree. Like, I think the surrender don't come natural to me, that part. It kind of, you know, explains what you're saying, you know, our human nature, we don't like, you know, not having things our way. And, but then again, you just realize, you know, that your resistance is nothing.
Cool. Michelle or Taylor, anything down there?
I love the way it just talks about, like, he's trying to resist, and he feels like he needs to resist God's mercy, and he doesn't want to take what he needs, but at the same time, he's calling out to God to help him because he knows that he needs help to stop resisting, and he knows he needs to reach out.
Yeah. You know, the thought about being held by Jesus, that's kind of cool. I was, you know, looking at all this kind of crazy stuff going on with the Da Vinci Code and everything lately, and, you know, looking at the different pictures that they're talking about in the book and all. And in a way, if anything, you know, God can make good things come out of bad, you know, with all the controversy and all the craziness and stuff. I was thinking about the passage where it talks about St. John, like, leaning on Jesus' chest during, you know, the Last Supper, like, being that close to him. And I thought, what kind of, you know, how strange that would be to be that close to Jesus, you know? I mean, good, strange, but how strange and alien to us that wouldn't be used to the idea of being that close to him, you know? Mm-hmm. And then this song, speaking of, like, hold me, Jesus, you know, it's sort of like, could you really imagine, you know, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, holding you, you know? Now, I think at times in our lives when things are going badly or someone dies or something like that, you could really, you know, sense or desire to sense that. But just what about, like, just life in general? How often do you think of Christ holding you?
Not many, honestly, because most times, you know, most people don't think he's actually holding you. But, like, it's like you're saying, and like we're, you know, people are saying, you know, people really look to him when there's crisis with a death or, you know, family struggles or whatever. You know, they're looking towards him. He's going to be there for you when you want it. You know, he's going to be there. He's going to, you know, take advantage of, you know, listen to him when he you know, he's there telling you, you know, this is what you need to be doing. Do it, you know, stay with him.
There's a phrase that one of my friends shared with me. I think last week was that Jesus was always all about the underdogs, and I think, you know, you look at that, really, he goes ahead and calls the most humble of people to carry on their missions, and you know what, they're shaking like a leaf, you know, when that happens. They're really scared, you know, all of scripture is a testament to that. So I that's what I really got from this song, is that wanting to just abandon yourself to God's will and just get rid of that human, that foolishness of doubt and disbelief, and just go ahead and abandon yourself because he's right there and his grace just overflows when you go ahead and abandon yourself like that.
Now, Mark, you've done some work with kids at camps and things, and sometimes there have been situations where the kids aren't in the best situation, the best health, maybe, and that kind of stuff. Have you ever had a sense of Christ holding you or holding them as far as healings go or anything like that? A feeling of everybody's accepted by Jesus, and regardless of their state in life or their situation or their or how healthy they are or physically together?
One camper that I've known, say his name is John, he was very troubled and had a lot of medical issues dealing with. At points when he would get a shot every month, occasionally it would have to be into his head, into a vein in his head, so I know he was holding on by two people then, whether it's a camper or mother and Jesus.
Wow. Yeah, you'd have to have that kind of connection, you know. My band used to do a lot of work with Recreation Unlimited, which was a camp here in Ohio where it's for the physically disabled, the mentally disabled, depending on the different weeks that you go. And Jimmy Crum from Channel 4 used to always do it. But it's like camping situations are such beautiful times to really be out there in nature and all, and to invite Christ in, especially when you're doing something really cool like that with the campers themselves. If they have some sort of special needs, basically, you know, whether it's a mental situation or a physical situation, it's a beautiful thing to invite Christ in, because you're out in the wilds anyway, kind of, you know, you're out in nature anyway. Very Franciscan to kind of see God and sense God and all of the different things that are going on. And I don't know, I always felt like, you know, that sense of God holding me and holding the campers in his heart, you know, that got the whole world in his hands, you know. It's kind of funny because, like, you can do all these crazy rock songs and stuff like that, but then it always came down to singing things like Kumbaya, you know. And the kids at the camp would just love stuff like that more than anything else. So God in his great mercy reaches down and holds all of us, I think. So we're going to pitch to a short break here for St. Gabriel Radio to do their ID, and we'll be back in a short while with the St. Michael's Teen Radio Show, and we hope you stick with us. Welcome back to the St. Michael's Teen Radio Show. Our next song is a song by Tom Booth, who's famous from the Life Teen organization, and this song is called I Will Choose Christ. Let's go right to it now.
My life.
Okay, so that was I Will Choose Christ by Tom Booth. Now, Tom Booth is the music minister, or was, for Life Teen. Started way, way, way back with Father Dale Fuschek and Phil Banowitz, and they were out in Tempe, Arizona. And Tom was kind of like the guitar guy that just hung out at the high school. And when Father Dale was looking for youth ministry people, he went and got the captain of the baseball team, Phil Banowitz, and he got Tom Booth, who was sort of like the guitar dude from around the high school. And the three of them created this thing called Life Teen, which is in, I think, last count, like over 700 parishes across the United States and all over the world. So they've really boomed and done some great things. So he wrote that song, I Will Choose Christ. And it kind of reminded me of last week's Jesus Jams, where we had our own Father Pandolfi talking to us about choosing God and things like that. Maybe some of you guys can comment on the Jesus Jams and the Mass last week. Any thoughts on it?
Yeah, it was great. It was really nice, you know, to be there and to have our own parish priest give the homily. But he really, really did accentuate the fact that we need to not only choose God as our God, but to serve God. And I think that's the key, you know, to take it one step further than just to choose God. Because by choosing God, you're also choosing to serve him, you know.
What did he say about you will serve someone or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did that part go?
Well, he said that like we're all made to serve. Whether we want to or not, we will serve someone, whether it's popularity or money or power or anything like that. But what will make us happy is serving God. So we need to eventually choose who we want to serve. And to get the best results, we need to choose to serve God.
Yeah. He also was talking about how who's the better master?
And who is the better master?
God.
Well, yeah, but why?
You know, as opposed to, you know, popularity, wealth, you know, lust or anything, they don't love you back. They will only destroy you eventually, and God loves you back. Mm-hmm. He's the only master that will do that.
And I loved one of his analogies. He compared, like, God to gravity and how gravity just, it always wins, and just no matter what you do, if you're jumping off the roof of your house or something, you're gonna fall and you're gonna break your arm. But, and, you know, you should just give up and, you know, just surrender yourself to God and serve him, because he's the better person to serve, because he will love you back, as Mary said.
So he said basically you could bend gravity, right, but you couldn't break gravity. And the same thing with God. You're not ever gonna break God, you know. And his commandments, he set them up because he wants us to be happy and live the fullest possible life that we could, and be as fulfilled as we could be. And yet we still choose to do things that aren't what God would like us to do, and they don't follow God's plan for us. And of course, we call that sin. But it's an interesting thing, you know, that that we will serve somebody, you know, and there's no getting around that at all. Somebody or something. So it might as well be the master who loves you, who sent his only son to die for you, to bring you to be with him constantly in heaven in the beatific vision. So we do have a wonderful God who loves us, a Father in heaven, and we should rejoice and be very thankful for that. We're going to take another quick break here, and then we're going to listen to another song, and we'll have some comments once again by the teens and young adults from the St. Michael Parish here in Worthington, Ohio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the St. Michael's Teen Radio Show. We were just listening to some wonderful music there, and we're going to continue our discussion now with the teens and the young adults from our youth ministry program here at St. Michael's. This is a song by an artist named Sarah Hart, and I've often wondered if she's local. Does anybody know? Because she's got a song on here called Springfield, USA, and of course we have a Springfield, Ohio, so I was never sure if it was Springfield, Ohio. Of course, there's a bunch of Springfields. Does anyone know?
I don't know.
I think you might be stretching, Mike.
Yeah, I think you're crazy.
I probably am.
I think there's a Springfield in every state, so I don't know.
Well, I just was hoping.
How many states actually did have a Springfield in it?
It's a Midwest city, Mike.
I was hoping because she's just so good that I really like her stuff. But this is a traditional song that she's doing. It's called Be Thou My Vision. I'm sure you've probably all heard it before. But one of the important things about this particular show is we want to talk about things like the contemporary sounds that the artists are using. We want to talk about the intentions of the artists as they write songs or write lyrics, whatever. Since this is a traditional song and the lyrics are pretty much going to remain traditional, we have to look at it and say, well, now why would someone take an older traditional song and then do this sort of thing to it and make it sound this way? Maybe breathe new life into it. Is it singing a new song unto the Lord, even though we're singing the same lyrics that we always did? Let's take a listen here. This is Sarah Hart with Be Thou My Vision. now my vision. Again, it's an old traditional Irish tune, but Sarah Hart has done some kind of cool things in there. Your thoughts? Anyone?
I loved it. I loved what she did with it. I thought it was great, because I have always loved this song. It's just beautiful. And I just was really impressed with the way she took it and kind of made it more contemporary. And made it her own, really.
Mark, you had a word or something on it?
Oh, I've only heard it this version. This version, I love this version. I'd love to hear it in this original version as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, I think it's just, you know, I guess melody-wise, it's still the same and all. She didn't change much. Mm-hmm. She added sort of the little "Be Thou My Hope, My Light, My Vision" and stuff in the background. But basically, this is what the song sounds like. It's just she sort of updated the sound of it to be a little bit more contemporary as far as the instrumentation on it and such. So, but I'm glad you liked it. Down there, Taylor? Or?
I really like one of the lines, "Thou and thou only, first in my heart." I really like that, you know, how she's just talking about God should be, like, you know, first in your heart, above, you know, everything in your life.
Yeah, Anna, you get something.
Actually, I liked it where he kept saying, "Be thou my vision, be thou my heart." It's kind of saying that, you know, be there, I want to, you know, see you, and I also want you to be there in my heart, like, all, you know, kind of being there all the time. Because mm-hmm. that's where a lot of people really lose a lot of it, is where they're, you know, they know he's there in their heart, but they're not actually seeing him. In this song, it keeps repeating that, "Be thou my vision, be thou my heart," pretty much saying, "Be there with me, let me see you and let me feel you with me at all times when I'm having troubles almost."
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, again, like in a sense, who will you serve, you know?
Yeah.
It kind of gets back to that thought again, too. I was thinking of the garbage in, garbage out thing I was talking about before. I know you're going to hear a lot about this over the weeks on this show, but it's true. It's like we're like computers in a certain way, you know, and there's the old thing about if you sit down at a keyboard or something and you put in garbage into a computer, the computer can't handle it because it's just logic anyway, and then something that comes out of the computer is all garbled and garbage anyway, and you say, like, you know, what's wrong with this crazy computer, and you realize it's just you because it's operator error, you know. But our souls are kind of like that too. What we listen to, what we watch on TV or see in movies, the books we read, the magazines we read, the things that are in front of us. But particularly, I think music is one of the major gates to the soul. You know, they say the eyes are the windows to the soul. It's true that, like, what you hear kind of seeps into your soul. And I think the beautiful thing about a song like this, being as traditional as it is and all, is that it sort of seeps in sort of like quietly in the background, like almost like a motif to your life, you know? And you could be driving down the street and kind of humming this song, you know? Mm-hmm. And the words might come to you, you know, "Be thou my vision" and all. And it really would hopefully call to mind in a subtle way, you know, that you're constantly trying to be in touch with God. You're constantly asking him into your life. You're constantly putting him first, you know, and serving him. And I think that's the beauty of it, as maybe compared to a song that might really be in your face and loud and noisy and stuff like that, that might be more likely to disturb your soul. I'm all in favor of loud, rowdy music too, don't get me wrong, but but this is sort of the kind of subtle seep song that has like a nice undertone to it, a nice bed. Anna, you look like you want to say something?
Yeah, like we were saying in the last show and all about, you know, this group here has had lots of issues with her, you know, dramas with like 9/11 and all that and all the wars. This kind of song kind of represents like a lot of things that went on right after 9/11. You know, people really started looking to the church and to God, even people who are in part of the tragedy of some of the planes were really taking, like, the 993, you know, they look to God and, like, you know, we're going to die either way. Why don't we try and do something? Because they're going to aim towards one of our buildings, our national buildings, to hurt us more. They took on to their responsibilities to go and actually try and stop them and took them down into a field versus going to a building of ours that could have had thousands of people.
Sure.
And they are, you know, they took their chances, which they did, and they all died, but they looked to God spiritually and emotionally and in their hearts, and he was directing them to go and stand up for what they believed, which was, don't let these people take my life without me fighting.
Mm-hmm. So in the subtlety of this song itself, it's like you might have even tragedy or tragic things going on in your life. You might have an emergency situation, And yet, you know, you've got this thing sort of like playing in the background, almost like a motif, I guess is the best way to put it, you know, that's just in the background constantly in your life. Pat?
Mark? It's a very calming song, I think. I mean, it's a, you know, you go ahead, it's a kind of like a motif in the background, as you said, but I kind of get that sense too. There's almost a mystic sense, I think, a little bit to the song. It has a very much a, like I said, a very calming influence of, you know, the Holy Spirit kind of goes ahead and kind of, like I said, that calming influence on you. It really does clear things up for you. I've never heard this modern version, which I thought was pretty impressive. I really liked it a lot, how she was able to take that traditional and make it a little more contemporary. Though, doesn't really compromise, I think, the original song either. I listened to it, by the way, on the kind of like original Celtic CD and everything, so.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
I just love the lyrics. No matter how it's, you know, the music sound, the lyrics are just beautiful. Just beautiful. And I really like the music that she does with it.
I think there's a biblical passage. I'm not sure that it says, my people perish for lack of vision. Is that the right thing? Because if it's not, it's lack of knowledge. It's knowledge or vision, I'm not sure. But be thou my vision is a beautiful thing, because if you keep God as your vision that you're looking for, and you're looking toward, you know, we're made for God. You know, the idea of we're made to serve, and we're made particularly to serve God. It's like He is our vision that we're looking forward to. And people wonder about heaven. You know, heaven's the beatific vision. It's constantly seeing and being with God, you know. And sometimes I think teens might mistake that for being bored, you know, that, oh, it's going to be sort of like when I'm at a cold church and nothing's going on and I'm just sitting there waiting for something to happen, you know. But it's the exact opposite. It would be everything all at once, totally accessible to you through God. It would be your wildest and greatest dreams of all the goodness and wonderful things that could happen. It could be all the elation that you would feel in anything you would do in this life a million times over. And it's constant, and it's constantly growing in depth and love with God. And so you would never spend a day in heaven where you would say, you know what, God, you know, yesterday was more fun. Today's less fun or more boring than yesterday. It'll never, ever happen. And yet people tend to choose to do things that are self-gratifying today in the world now, instead of putting things off that might be even a good thing now, you know, but putting them off for a while for God, you know, giving those gifts over to God and letting them be in the order and the timings of the things that He wants to have happen, so that we can be with Him in heaven forever with beatific vision. So, be thou my vision. What a wonderful way to kind of go with this one and be thinking about it. Any other thoughts on the song before we move along here? Okay, well, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back with another song for you on the St. Michael's Teen Radio Show. Be right back. We're back with the St. Michael's Teen Radio Show. Mary Eckert has a special song she wanted to talk to us a little bit about. It's called Let It All Out by Reliant K. What's the deal with this song? What's so great about it that you like?
Well, what I love about this song is it really, you really see the emotion of the artist, which I think is really great. You can see their faith journey, I guess you could say, and their struggles. And it's a really relatable song, I think, especially to teens. And I think it's also a song that gives a lot of hope. And I just think it's really real and it's really great.
Cool. All right, let's give it a listen. Here it's called Let It All Out by Reliant K.
Let it all out. Rip it out, remove it. Don't be alone when the wound begins to bleed. 'Cause we're so scared to find out. So scared we're gonna lose it. And knowing all along, that's exactly what we need. And today I'll trust you with the confidence of a man who's never known defeat. But tomorrow, upon hearing what I did, I will stare at you in disbelief. Oh, inconsistent me, crying out. See,
burden seems too much to bear. Remember, the end will justify the pain it took to get us through. You said, I know that this will hurt. But if I don't break your heart, then things will just get worse. When the burden seems too much to bear.
I love that song. I love, love, love that song.
I do too. It's awesome.
First of all, I just want to say that Reliant K is a great band, and this guy who writes these songs, I don't know his name, but he's the lead singer of the band, he is phenomenal at writing lyrics. Just wanted to get that out. Anyways, I just love the song because there's so many lines in here that I can relate to, especially when it says, let's see, there's that one part I liked. And today I'll trust you with the confidence of a man who's never known defeat. And I'll try my best to just forget that that man isn't me. I think that's a really great line about just how we really have to, you know, come back to reality and know that we are not all that in a bag of chips. You know, and I don't know. I just love this song. Love it, love it, love it.
It definitely talks about, at least it seems to me, suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It brings up a lot of suffering. I really like that line, obviously. Of the course, the ends will justify. Was it? What does it say?
The end will justify the pain it took to get us there.
And yeah, will justify the pain it took to get us there. Really cool song because I don't think you hear a lot of people sing that. As long as you know what I mean, a lot of pop culture songs talk about gratification. You know what I mean? It's pleasure, things like that. Mm-hmm. That's definitely what our culture teaches. But I like that you actually have to go ahead and suffer for what it is that you're going towards.
Yeah. And like you have to suffer in order to become closer to God. So I mean, I remember one of my teachers said that, and that's just kind of always stuck with me ever since she said that.
So does that mean that people have to like beat themselves with rakes and stuff like that?
Yes. No.
I'd like clarified about that, I think, anyway, is that suffering comes to everybody, good and bad. I mean, we see scripturally speaking, you know, the rain falls on the good and the evil and all that kind of stuff. So suffering is going to come to everybody in their lives. But the thing is, if you're with God, you're suffering totally different. You know, you are uniting your suffering to Christ's suffering on the cross, and merit can come from it. And so the only thing I have that's a problem with this statement that we suffering makes us closer to God, it's true, it does. But too many people look for reasons to go out and suffer when you will suffer plenty in this life all by yourself, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. I went out and played roller tarball last night and broke my fingers. And they were like nobody's business today. And so, yeah, you know? And so every time I feel the pain, if I offer that up to God instead of just whining about it and getting chinged for it, it would probably have great merit and tons of people be getting out of purgatory, you know? But instead, I'd rather just complain. So the point is, you know, I think that too many people think we have to go out and look for suffering. You know, if you stub your toe, if you hurt your fingers playing roller chair ball, if you catch a cold, if something bad happens in your life, family situations aren't so good, all those things can be offered up instead of just, you know, things like in the Da Vinci Code where the guy goes out and is beating himself with a whip and stuff, you know. I want to make sure that we don't leave that impression of Catholics that we're out there looking for ways to be painful, you know, and to do things that are hurtful to ourselves. I think that would be the wrong message. But otherwise, yes, I think suffering does bring us closer to Christ, because he was certainly innocent and he suffered quite a bit. Pat?
Well, if Father Sam was here, like I said, he would go ahead and echo his famous, you think that you're the only one who has to suffer, which we all know Michael is oh so much. And you know, again, had to get his rendition on that maybe on another show. But, I mean, he was at St. Jose Maria, Escriva, canonized by the late Pope John Paul II in October of 2002. But, you know, suffering if done for the love of God, I think is what this all comes down to. As you said, go ahead and offer it up something like that. There's a famous quote from him that said, St. Benedict threw himself into a thorn bush to protect his purity, and St. Francis of Assisi rolled in the snow. He says, you, what have you done? Now, of course, he was, again, saying that a little tongue-in-cheek there, but then again, I think that brings up the point, suffering is done for God if your suffering is in perfect alignment with God and the will of God. Something, you know, and not only that, to remove sin from your life.
Yeah, maybe the suffering, something as simple as not seeing a movie that everybody else has seen that's popular or whatever, you know, because it might have some stuff in it that's not so good to see. Or maybe not doing that one more click on the internet that you know is going to take you from a normal insane room to an insane room where there's all sorts of nasty stuff going on. So there's all sorts of little sufferings that go on in life. Yeah, Anna's got something else.
Actually, there's this one lyric where it talks about if the burden seems too much to bear. Seems like it's saying, you know, if it's a burden to you, you know, let it out. It's basically saying, if you have a problem, talk about it, let it out, let it be known. Because it's basically saying it's going to drag you down even more if you keep it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and same at the beginning when it says, let it all out, get it all out, rip it out, remove it. I love the tie that has with confession, you know what I mean? Just get it out and just remove that burden from your life.
Well, we have like a good scripture on that where Christ says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out, you know, or if your hand offends you, you know, cut it off, because it's better to enter the kingdom of God with one eye or with one hand, whatever. There's a great story by one of the great saints where he gives that admonition to a young kid who kicks his mother by accident. Actually, not by accident, the kid does it because he's angry, and the saint chastises him for it, says it's a terrible thing, and quotes the part about, you know, plucking out your eye and the stuff. So the kid goes home and cuts his foot off, and then the saint, hearing about that, goes and finds him because the kid is so repentant and prays over his foot and it's reattached. Does anybody know which saint that was from DTS?
No, I don't. I don't think don't we remember. Did that one here
I think
yet.
I missed that one.
Oh, gee. None of my kids ever listen. Okay, never mind. I'll tell you what. We're going to let that one hang until next week because only I know the answer. But I'm going to see who actually goes and researches that one. But it's a true story there. Okay, Taylor, did you have something? You look like you were going to say something a minute ago about it. Okay, Mary's back again. Mary.
Sorry. This one line, Mary says
everything.
Right here, it says, oh, inconsistent me, crying out for consistency. I just think that's so great. It just totally shows the weakness of humans. And I love that.
I like it because it rhymes.
Yeah.
I just think it's nice. So great, like how we are just longing for something that isn't what we are.
Yes. Every beat will be for you. When he talks about making his heart brand new, you know, I love the way in the song musically they start like plucking the strings or whatever, and it sounds like clock ticking or something, you know, like heartbeats. And at the end of the song there, I think that's just really neat. It's neat when artists include stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, musically this song is brilliant to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would have to agree with her on that. The song was brilliant, where they had the guitars in it playing at the end.
Wonderful stuff. Yeah, Pat?
I was going to go ahead and actually share something, too, about, you talked a little bit about what your suffering can be, and it can be something as simple as what you said. And I have a good friend, actually, who right now is in the seminary, and he went ahead and he told me one day, I asked him at the end of it, you know, what was your first year like? And he said it was wonderfully painful. And the way he went ahead and described that, as he said, and you know, I asked him, you know, that's an interesting way to look at it. What do you mean by that? And he said, I'm dying. I myself am dying. And what happens when you're dying? It's painful. But he went ahead and said, I know that it's worth it. I know that's exactly as I become the man that God wants him to be, and obviously for this individual to become one of his priests here on earth. But you know, I thought that was really. You know, that really, really went ahead and spoke.
Sort of echoes St. John the Baptist saying, he must increase while I must decrease.
Exactly.
Mary?
Exactly.
Also, that reminded me of the DTS motto, dead to the world, alive in Christ.
Yeah.
And it is painful to die to yourself, you know, it's humiliating, you know, but how important it is, and the reward is so big, you know, it's worth it.
Absolutely. I think, for me anyway, I don't know about you guys, but reconciliation is the biggest one, you know. That's the biggest death to self. It's funny, you know, you meet non-Catholics and they go, oh, I wish all I ever had to do was just go tell some priest my sins and then I could just walk away and do whatever I want again next week. And it's like, oh, you just totally don't understand reconciliation, you know. It is not like that at all, you know. I mean, the humiliation of actually speaking, you know, the kinds of terrible things that we do in our lives, the sinful things that we do. Just admitting your own failings, of course, it keeps you humble, you know. And it's a beautiful thing, I think, to be able to do that, to be able to unburden yourself like that. But it's certainly a death to yourself, a little death, you know, because the human soul, because of our fallen nature, has a resistance to admitting we've done something wrong. Yeah, Taylor.
Yeah, like, as you were saying, like, it's so hard, you know, just to come and admit to yourself, you know, what you've been doing wrong, like, to another person, like the priest or whoever you want to talk to. But, like, afterwards, you just probably feel so much better. You just let it, like, as the song says, you just let it all out, and you just, something's lifted off your shoulders, and you can probably just feel refreshed. And
yeah, absolutely. I think you could easily, you know, I mean, I don't know what the intentions were by the guys in the Lion Cave, but this song could certainly encapsulate reconciliation.
Oh, yeah.
To be the sacrament of reconciliation. You know?
I think that's just why I liked it so much. You know, it's just such a meditative song, I think. It was just great.
Truly, truly, really good stuff. Any last-minute comments or thoughts as we head out here on the end of the show?
St. Gabriel Radio rocks!
Amen.
Yeah, an Eternal Word Publishing Network.
That's right. We are all part of the Catholic Radio Network that's going to be carrying all of that. So it's nice to have your voice on along with everybody else's. So, okay, so until next week, everybody be good, be holy out there, and we will talk to you soon. God bless.
Yes, hello, my little apple dumplings. I must say to you now that I would be remiss in my duties if I did not explain that the materials contained in this podcast are the, how shall we say it, intellectual property of Mr. Michael Anthony Barone and should not be used without his expressed written permission. Otherwise, one might find oneself in violation of copyright laws of God and man. Thank you.